Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead to that secret, sacred place of you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we clap our hands and give God the glory? Hallelujah. God, we exalt you. We magnify you. We praise your name. We give you the glory. God, we thank you for this day, another day that you have allowed us to see. We praise your name. We give you the glory. All honor belongs to you. We worship and magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your wonderful name. Father God, in all our ways we acknowledge you. Bless this blog, Father God. Bless the people that are on this blog, Father God. And Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that somebody will hear this blog in the future and be blessed. Father God, allow this word to saturate the airways and the homes, God, and be a blessing, Father, to your people. Not my will, but thine be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank God for those of you that are on the line today. I thank you for tuning in to me or tuning in to us, Amazing Grace Ministries. This is Amazing Grace Ministries. We are breaking, we are destroying, we are tearing up the yokes of bondage. And certainly welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly I want to give a shout out to my co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, who fills in for us. So I want to make this announcement. Thank the Lord. every Thursday at 6 p.m. We kind of tweaked it. We've been tweaking the Amazing Grace School of Ministries hour. So we're starting at 6 p.m. We're going for 45 minutes. And certainly that is an opportunity for you to call in, for you to address any mental health issues, anything that you said, call in. But certainly if you do have an issue, we can address it on the line, and I can help you with services. You can text me, and we can talk about it. But at 6 p.m. on Thursday, every Thursday, we're dealing with issues. This is a mental health awareness session that's designed to train and to educate, or to teach, train, and educate. We give resources in reference to dealing with this coronavirus, what we should do to stay safe, and how to deal with issues of social distancing, and understanding that this is not, even though we are at home, we're not isolated. And those that feel isolated, we certainly want to address and want to talk about it and want to give aid to you and your household. So I've been addressing services. We've been announcing where you can get food, where seniors can get food on this show, but in shelter. But I am going to reserve those for Thursday. And you can call me if you really are in need of services or you just need help. Then you can call me and I give you some numbers where you can receive help. There's so many hotlines out there. There's so many places where you can receive help. And certainly we can pray. And I believe that the Lord hears our prayers. And we want to pray because the Bible says that we are to pray all the time without ceasing. So, and it also says the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, meaning that we are bombarding heaven, we're talking to the Lord, we're giving him for glory, we're honoring him, we're praising him, we're praying, we're seeking his face, and we're asking him, and we're declaring, and we binding those things that are here on earth, and God hears. And according to the word, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So God hears us, God operates in us, and God moves us, and God responds. So we have that promise in him. So give me a call. Please contact me. My telephone number is 309-750-7584. And one other thing I want to say, I know there have been no orders to, we have been told to stay at home so that we can stay safe. And I know the governments are opening up. I know Indiana has opened up. If you live in Indiana, state of Illinois is opening up partially. We're moving, we're progressing. But it is the law that you are to wear a face mask when you go into the stores and the malls and in public, those facilities where you really can't do the social distancing. So I will encourage you to do so and to let the Lord guide and lead you, because we certainly believe the Lord that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly, and he certainly is healing our bodies, but we are to walk according to the laws of the land. All right, let's get into this lesson, shall we? We've been dealing with restoration in the month. Hallelujah. Certainly we've been dealing with restoration, the theme of this month of May, and we've got one more Saturday in May. The theme has been complete restoration, and we started out with persistence under pressure and perseverance when it counts. And then we want to restoration according to Zephaniah. God will restore. And I think that was last week's lesson. And this week is repentance and restoration. So let's get into the scripture, shall we? Jeremiah 21:12-14 reads, O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning, and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hands of the oppressor. Lest my fury go out like fire and burn, that none can quench it. Because of the evil of your doings, behold, I am against thee, O inhabitant of the valley and rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter into our habitations? But I will punish you according to the fruits of your doings, saith the Lord. I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things around about it. Jeremiah 22 and verses 3 through 4. This is what the Lord says. Be fair-minded and just. Now, this is a little different translation. This is a New Living Translation. Be fair-minded and just. Do what is right. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds. Do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows. Stop murdering the innocent. If you obey me, there will always be a descendant of David sitting on the throne here in Jerusalem. The king will ride through the palace gates in a chariot and on horses with his parade of attendants and subjects. But if you refuse to pay attention to this warning, I swear by my own name, says the Lord, that this palace will become a pile of rubble. Hallelujah. We have already prayed. But, you know, this is tight. Certainly we've been dealing with restoration. We've been dealing with restoration. We've been dealing and kind of corresponding our lessons with the times and what we've been dealing with. And certainly we're dealing in a time where we're seeing a virus just shut down everything and go through the land where we don't have a cure for it. And it seems like people have been just prior to that, just kind of not following the rules and treating people any old kind of way. And yet here's this virus that has come along where people are trying to be more humane and get back to the Creator, get back to a relationship with Christ Jesus. You know, certainly God has a way of getting our attention. And we talked about and we define restoration as the act of restoring the conditions of being restored. And we talked about that restored means to give back, to return. So those, that's the meaning of restoration. So to come, to not to come, but to return, to be renewed, to turn from your ways that were not, no conditions that were not favorably or former positions, but to turn away from that and to come again to a new thing, to a renewal, you know. And we talk about in the church a renewal, revival, you know, revive us again. Lord, fall upon us. That's a renewal of your presence. Revive us where we can partake of your, or get closer to you. Not that God has left us, because he has not, but he wants to get close to us again. Life has a way of distracting us and keeping us from the presence of the Lord. But God has allowed a virus to come that we may fellowship in the presence of him again, that we may seek him, that we may feel the presence in our homes and know that he is with us, and we don't have to feel alone because God is with us. Have a little talk with Jesus. He'll make it all right. But another definition that I want to talk about on this morning is repentance. As the theme is repentance and restoration. Now, when we look at repentance, it's the action of repenting or a sincere regret or remorse. So what does the Bible say about repentance? The common translation of repent is to turn, is turn or return. So there are two requisites. One, you've got to turn from evil, and two, you have to turn to good. Some may understand the term repentance as turning from sin or regretting sin and turning from its related or from it and related, which is related to repentance. But when we look at repentance, the Bible says the meaning of is to change one's mind. The Bible also says or tells us true repentance will result in the change of action. So here the Bible says repentance is a change of mind. And we can find that in Luke chapter 3, verses 8 and 14. And I don't think I'm going to read all of this. And the first 8 says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is horned down or cut down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that has meat, let him do otherwise. So you begin to see the element of change mind, of rethinking a thing, of changing your mind in order to have a godly mind or a mind that seeks to know what God will have you to do. So when we look at Acts 3 and 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. So a change of mind, a change of how we do things, all in relationship to restoration, moving from what you think is perfect in your own eyes to what God is saying, standing on the word of God, standing on what is right in his eyes, seeking him that he may give unto us wisdom and understanding, that we may walk up right before him in a way that is pleasing to him. So let's summarize, or let's talk about what Paul declares in Acts 26 and 20. I preach that you should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. So the definition here again is the change of mind. The change of mind will result in the change of action. You know, one of the philosophers, the Greek philosopher said, I think, therefore I am. So when we look at the thought, when we look at the mind, when we look at the Bible saying in 2 Timothy 2 and 7, when it talks about God has not given us the spirit of fear. But at the end of that verse, it says, but a sound mind. So again, once you look at repentance, once you look at the concept of my mind, the concept of repenting, the concept of being renewed, the concept of being revived, the concept of changing my thought process. And once I change my thought process, then I change my attitude. I change what I do and how I do it. If I believe I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, and I believe that and I see it, then I will achieve it. Ooh, Jesus, hallelujah. Ooh, the Lord just came through with that one, boy. So if we look at that, if we look at the verse and we look at what Paul is declaring there in that verse is that, hallelujah, turn to God and your works will meet, will do works for repentance, or change your mind towards God, renew your mind and do the deeds, do those good deeds that he's called of you. So repentance involves recognizing that you have thought wrongly in the past and determining to think rightly in the future. Now, if we will be honest with ourselves and do a self-analysis on our thinking, and we think about it, there have been some stinking thinking. There have been some thinking that we have put in our minds, and we have thought some things that have been totally wrong, but it is by our own perception of how we feel or how we think. And even those underlining wounds that still are affecting us that we react to because we have not allowed God to search us and to heal us and go before the Lord and say, God, take out everything that's not like you, because I am a wretch undone, because I am a sinner saved by grace. And my mind must be renewed daily. And that's in the Bible in Romans 12 and 2. So the repentant person has second thoughts about a mindset that was previously embraced. There's a change in disposition, if you will, a new way of thinking about God. And we have to understand, even in the midst of this coronavirus, God is still in control. You know, one of the things, you know, the prophets have said, and God gives mercy and grace, and we thank God for his mercy and grace. Certainly, he provides for us, even in the midst of this coronavirus. The virus is turning. It's turning because the saints are praying. It's turning around because the saints are praying. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but the saints are praying. The saints are bombarding heaven. The saints have gone back to their old-fashioned roots of fasting and praying. Tuesday, we're praying. We're fasting and praying. Friday, we're fasting and praying. We're praying in the morning. We're praying in the noonday. We're praying at night. We got the blood signs that said the blood of the Lamb is covering our dope, and therefore the blood is passing over. The death angel is passing over. And certainly we're mourning the loss of those that have gone on, but certainly we know that the older saints that have gone on are gone to glory. They don't have to worry about the pain and the frustration of dealing with the kids that are still trying to go out and party and not understanding the concept of how deadly this virus is. But if it wasn't for the grace of God that stands in the gap of those praying, that's standing in the gap, we would all be consumed. So it's a change of disposition, a new way of thinking about God, about sin, about holiness, about doing God's will. True repentance is prompted by godly sorrow that leads to salvation. Ooh, 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. This world is not our home. And I understand the young people are making stock. They're the changes. They're the movers. They're the shakers and the bakers of this world. This future world, and certainly we have to deal with the concept, deal with how to deal with a new reality, a new realness after we come out of our homes and go back into society. And I was getting ready to say before I finished the scripture that if anybody have looked at the news the other day, and Trump got on the news and said that the churches are essential and the churches should open back up. Of course, the evangelical Christians that have put him in place has been speaking in his ear. And he is right. The churches are essential. Where can you go when you need a refuge? I run to the rock. I run to my strong tower. I run to that place that helps me. Even as we deal with mental illness, and I deal with that on Thursday nights, we run the church. The community sees those individuals first that are dealing with mental illness. And of course, we're looking at the disparities that we're facing. The Lord has put a light on the disparities, the poor, the fact that society has not done what it should be doing to those that are in need. And God has said, time is enough is enough now. So we get to the text. We get to the text of restoration, and that's what we've been dealing with. We've been dealing with restoration this whole month. And next Saturday will be the last topic on restoration. So we got the book of Jeremiah here. We got the book of which is the longest book of the Bible, and some compare it to the book of Psalms, but it covers the prophet Jeremiah. It deals crucially with the time in Israel's history that had a king on the throne that had ancestors that belonged to David, okay? So when we look at the book of Jeremiah, when we see it, it's crucial. It's critical for Isaiah's history in the Old Testament because it involved the destruction of the temple, the dwelling place of the Lord of Israel, the exile of God's people. This book deals with what's happening and why it happened. And certainly you got a lot of kings. You got Josiah. It deals with where the city that Jeremiah was from. And if we read the book of Jeremiah, it tells you he was in a small hometown 2 miles from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And that he was, everybody know Jeremiah as the weeping prophet. Everybody know that he encountered a lot of suffering. Why? Because he had to give the people of Israel information towards their downfall. If you don't get it right, if you don't do what the Lord says to do, if you don't take care of the poor, if you don't take care of the needy, then the Lord will provide justice. You know, some people think that God does not, he's not a God of justice. He is a God of justice. He is a God that knows what you're going through, what you're suffering, what you are going through now, the toll that this virus is taking on you. God knows, God understands, and God is there to wipe away your tears. But we have to understand that we must maintain a godly mind. We must seek the Lord. We must continue to be before his face. We must turn from any wicked ways that may be in us. If we're treating somebody wrong, we need to get it right. If I have offended anyone, I need to repent and say, I am sorry, because I need to get it right. Why? Because God is coming back. Jeremiah in this book dealt with kings. He dealt with crooked kings. He dealt with the son of Josiah. And this was a time where Babylon, the Neo-Babylon, Babylon was in control. We know that the book, let me read it. The book of Jeremiah addresses itself to a nation under severe, under massive assault, and a people whose lives are wrecked with pain, with disturbing images and new and raw emotions. The book bears witness to a disaster that represents nothing less than the collapse of the world, the crumbling, the culture. So tragedy in mind is the defeat of Judah by Babylon under the king Nebuchadnezzar. So we see the offenses. We see in Jeremiah that the temple would be burned down and royal palaces erected. The infrastructure would be disarrayed, and many leading citizens would go in exile. The ruin of the land seems to be bleak. It was a world fallen. Long-standing institutions, associates with God's blessings and beliefs and social structures seem to come to an end, a devastating end, because of God. People would not follow through with serving him. That's something. God says, if you continue to serve me, if you continue to do the things that I've commanded you to do, then I will bless you. But if you turn from serving me and treat people unjustly, treat people wrongly, treat people, the poor, as if they're not people, then I will remove you from the throne. Who is God? People were saying, not who, but where is God? How can these violent acts occur? How is it possible to live through darkness and embrace this life again? And certainly the question is, how could God allow this coronavirus to impact our lives as it has? So So we're looking at Jeremiah and the response to the evil, but God is still saying, I'm still in control. God is still saying, even in the midst of this coronavirus, that we shall overcome. You know the song that's sung by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we shall overcome. Someday we shall overcome. So when we look at the destruction, when we look at what Jeremiah talks about, and we started off with the prophets, Zephaniah, Zechariah, and now Jeremiah, that's dealing with restoration, dealing with repentance, dealing with restoration and restoring a people back to his fold. God is restoring us. God is building leaders that will be strong, be mighty in battle, to know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. God is saying that he just wants our attention. He wants us to know that we can stand on his word, that if we change our mind towards believing in the word of God, that if we repent of our doubt, of our fear, of the things that we feel like God is not able to do, we don't put our children in his hands. We don't put our finances in our hands, because we're saying to the Lord, we really don't trust you. But God says, how can you not trust me when I am the person that made this universe? I am your creator. You are made in my image. Hallelujah. I hear the cries of my people. Do you not think that I will not act? Do you not think that I am the God on the throne? Do you not think that I am able to do exceedingly and abundantly? Do you not know I am God? Oh, Jesus, have mercy. God is giving us to know that once we go back into the churches, and I've been trying to say this, and I did say it about Trump and the churches, but the church is an essential place. People run in and are saved. We are to reflect. We are to stand. We are to understand that we are God's people, no matter if we saved, no matter or not. God has created every creature, and we are to understand that God needs us to speak a word. Now, Miss Justice, God will avenge. Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So God is saying to the kings, and if we read the Bible, and not if, but when we read the Bible, we understand that God has taken down the kings. The throne of David was taken down, went into captivity, and did not return until Jesus sat on the throne. Until the heir came, and that was Jesus Christ. So, yeah, we're suffering in our homes, but we're not alone. God is in the midst. God is wiping away our tears. If we fall on our face, turn the TV off, and seek God, God, I just need you in my life. I just need you to give me a song. I just need you to speak a word in my desolation. I need you, Lord. I'm changing my mind towards you. I'm changing my thought, my heart towards you. I need you to speak, Lord, speak. And open up the Bible, and he will speak. We are covered under the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Now take somebody with you. Tell somebody, you know you're covered. God loves you. You know, we get caught up in our own hurts, our own pains, our own issues, our own frustrations. And when we're frustrated, yes, We're coming out of those our unresolved needs, and there is a need. We have needs. There's a need for stability. There's a need for financial stability. There's a need to be fed. There's a need to be in relationship. Yes, God made us that way. But ultimately, God is the person that will provide all of that. He is everything that we need him to be. God told Moses, I am that I am. Now, he told Moses that because the Egyptians had their own gods. They had a god of the sun, a god of this, a god of that. But God was letting Moses know, you tell them folks that are dealing with all them little g gods that I am the God. The God of creation, the God that has made you, the God that set the moon and the sun in place, the God that said trees, told the trees to grow, the God that said, I'm going to form man. Then he took the rib from Adam and he made woman. The God that is. The God that's the God that lives in us. The God that said, look, I love my people so I'm going to send my only begotten son that they may be redeemed because they're my creation and I love my creation. He loves us. When we are misused, mistreated, when we cry to him, God hears. God hears and God finds a way to take care of us. Hallelujah. And it's not just a simple, see, our concept of God, our concept of the way he moves on our behalf is as far as we can see. But God will move in China and the world around just to get you that blessing. God will move all over the world just to get you that blessing because that's the way God is. God will move, rearrange. It may take some time, but God is getting us ready for what he wants or needs us to do. We need to begin to be sensitive as we are staying at home. We need to begin to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, endow me one more time. Just move on me. Let me have an ordinary experience in you. Holy Spirit, just get all over me. Just talk to me and move me in just crazy ways. Hallelujah. Just give me a praise party and just let me start praising and magnifying God like I've lost my mind. Jesus, hallelujah. Then when we look at this Jeremiah. Now we sing this song. The Clark sister says, bomb in Gilead. Is there a bomb in Gilead? Now Gilead was a place where they had their own hospital. They had their own healing. It was set up, hallelujah, for healing. But when God's destruction comes, it was destroyed. So we need to understand that God is saying, what is God saying to us? We need to turn our faces toward heaven and seek God like never before. We need to praise and magnify God like never before. We see this coronavirus that has come on the land. The Bible says for the people to turn from their wicked ways. We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to turn our faces towards him and cry out to a God that is powerful, that is rich in mercies, that is rich in his grace. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, God, that You are showing yourself to be strong. We thank you, God, for the word. We thank you, God, that for the people that are on the blog this morning. We pray, God, that you'll touch them, God. We pray, God, that you'll meet every need. We ask, God, that the angels encamp around about them, Father God, that they may be covered, God. Keep them safe, God, from this coronavirus, God. Put the armor upon them, God. Give them to know that you're right there with them. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you will give them an extraordinary touch on today. Manifest your presence in their minds, in their hearts, in their spirits, body, soul, and spirit, all areas, Father God. Let them have joy, unspeakable joy. Just let them get laughter. Let them know that they are in relationship with you and you right there by your side, their side. And for some of them, you are carrying them because you love us that much. We thank you, God. We repent of our sins. We thank you, God, for the healing. We thank you for the balm of Gilead. We thank you, God, for the healing. We thank you, God, if there's any pain, we pray right now that you touch and heal every pain, every problem, God. Take the sting of pain away. God, we exalt you. We praise your name. We magnify you. We exalt you like never before. We thank you, God, because we can stand on your word. It says, ask, and it shall be given. Seeking, you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Well, God, we're doing all those things this morning because, God, we need you. God, we need you to keep us safe during this coronavirus. God, cover us in the blood, God. Cover us with your anointing. Cover us with your power. Cover us, God, in the name of Jesus. And those that are in abusive situations, God, heal, deliver, God. Restore their mind, God. Restore their development. We bind the spirit of suicide right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for those young people that are going out and partying and don't understand the realness of the virus we're dealing with. We pray, God, that you'll cover them in spite of. We pray, God, that you'll move mightily in their lives. We pray, God, that you'll bring them into the knowledge of salvation. The younger people that are coming on, God, give them a tight relationship with you. Give them a Holy Ghost experience, God. Fill them on the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I thank each and every one of you that are on the line with me. We have went over our time, but truly it's been a blessing to bring the word of God to you. Again, don't be in your homes needing help. Give me a call, 309-750-7584. We are helpers one to another. We are to show Christ's love to others. And once we do, saints, once we give, God will give back to us. If we give in the name of the Lord, God will give back to us. Let us not be afraid. Let us not be tight hand because we need to understand there's fraud. And we pray for those that are dealing with fraud on this morning. We pray for those that have tried to get into unemployment and can't because somebody has stole their information. We bind Satan in the name of Jesus. We've got so many people that's doing so many evil deeds, but God sees. We pray for them. We pray, God, we pray that they will come into the knowledge of salvation because certainly their lives matter as well. God bless. I'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.